بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم One of the founders of Darulum Diyoban Mawlana Muhammad Yaqub Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi He says that we were once invited So respecting the sunnah I attended the Dawat but after eating of that food there was a constant feeling in my mind to go and commit some haram whereas previously I never go through such a feeling I never had such an experience now there was a burning urge and it was just growing and growing and growing in my mind Eventually I got to understand that that person who had invited us, his dealings and business wasn't right. He was dealing in haram, wrong, like how you have interest, insurance, etc. So he was involved in all these type of things. So many a times we have these fluctuations in us and we try to figure out where this thing is coming from. Sometimes there is the motivation and the drive, and sometimes the drive is totally dead. Whilst there may be other reasons for this motivation and demotivation, sometimes it's just a test from Allah Ta'ala to see and test your constancy, test your perseverance, your endurance, that are you going to remain constant and consistent only when the feelings are high, or will you remain consistent irrespective? You've got feelings or you've got no feelings, there is a drive and enthusiasm, there is motivation or no motivation, you still continue. So sometimes it's a trial from Allah Ta'ala to see your level of endurance, consistency, your loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are you there for the feelings or are you there for Allah ta'ala's loyalty? So sometimes people, they get motivated only if there is a feeling. So we need to ask ourselves that are we doing it for feelings or are we doing it for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala? So if it's for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala, irrespective, whatever comes, feeling it hard, difficult, not feeling it hard, difficult, we're just doing it. This is what Islam is all about. You just give in, just surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of the type of feelings and conditions that you are going through, telling yourself that I am the slave of Allah ta'ala, not the slave of feelings. And many a times, when the feelings are low, and you still continue persevering, and you continue, then your reward is actually doubled. You're feeling down, you're feeling despondent, and you still continue. Then your reward is not just single, now your reward is doubled. Hadith says, the person who recites the Quran, وَيَتَتَعْتَعُ فِي لَهُ أَجْرًا So he's going through difficulty in the recitation of the Quran Sharif. So his reward is actually difficult. His reward is actually doubled. One is for the recitation, and one is for the difficulty that he's going through. So, irrespective of what feeling you're going through, but you're still doing. If the deen wants you to perform your namaz in a certain way, you're doing it. Right? The deen wants that when you come home, you have a smiling face, don't have a malicious heart, don't have an evil heart, then you're doing it. Though you're going through a very hard patch. But this is what Allah Ta'ala's Nabi wants of you, that you should have a good heart, don't express anger, show some smile, show some good cheer in your face, and deen wants that you're doing it. And you're reminding yourself constantly that I'm the servant of Allah Ta'ala, I'm not the servant of my feelings. Right. And one easy way or easy thing to do at the time when your feelings are right down is in the state of sajda, cry to Allah Ta'ala, saying, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. When you're saying Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Allah Ta'ala is eternal and alive. And he maintains everything. Not only he maintains everything, but he sustains everything. He maintains and sustains everything. So as though you are saying and pleading to Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah Ta'ala, when you are sustaining everything, then I am going through a hard patch, Allah Ta'ala, sustain me as well. That I go well, I fare well within this test and this trial, I don't fail, I don't collapse, I don't fall away by the way. So this is what you are saying to Allah Ta'ala and you are pleading to Allah Ta'ala in the words, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. So this is one easy way that you go into sajda, crying to Allah Ta'ala, and then leave it to Allah Ta'ala. Don't wait for that feeling to come. It came, it came. If it didn't come, one of those things. But our duty is to continue. Right? When the duty is to continue, the duty is the loyalty and allegiance to Allah Ta'ala, then we continue. The work wasn't to get feelings, that ibadat or that service and whatever worship you are rendering to Allah Ta'ala, it wasn't for feelings. It was for His pleasure. So we're doing it. So when your feelings are down, this is the mindset that we need to have. Nonetheless, sometimes when a person is totally out, he doesn't feel, and he's getting deprived, now he's going away, he's distancing him away, he's distancing himself away, and he's finding it easy to fall into sin, and difficult to do work. He's finding himself that very easily he's slipping away, and to remain consistent and persevere, is finding it very difficult. Then one of the main causes is that you're eating not right. Like I said, Mulana ate something that was not right, though it was not of his own choice. It was an invitation, his intention was right. But it will have its mark. Like if you eat a poison, right, accidental, it wasn't of your own choice, but it will have its effect. You cannot say now that, you know, I did it accidentally, so the poison will not have its effect, it will have its effect. So nonetheless, Mulana says thereafter, I made a lot of istighfar, tawbah, cried to Allah Ta'ala, turned to Him, until after some times, the feeling had gone away. By the same token, he says that there was another person that used to be cutting straw. In the old days, people used to live in clay built homes. So the roofs used to be thatched. And in order to test the roofs, they need to have straws and hay. See? So he used to cut this straw and hay, and he used to sell this, do a living out of this. And it was his way that he would live in this way, that one third of his income he would use for himself, for generating his business, one third for his household, and one third he would give away in charity. That was his practice. So he accumulated some money in this way, and after accumulating some money in this way, he offered it to Mawla Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that I wish that I could feed the staff of Darul Uloom Deoband. So it wasn't much money, but Mawlana knew about his background. Knowing about his background, Mawlana was very appreciative. This man is working the sweat of the brow, there isn't an iota of doubt in his income. He's an iota of doubt, like how, you know, you catch a fish and eat from the ocean. Is there an iota of doubt? No iota of doubt. So his food is absolutely halal. There isn't an iota of doubt in that. And then I took all the precaution. We prepared the food like how we're supposed to be preparing the food. And then from that food, we couldn't eat much. Each person, all the staff, maybe have 3-4 morsels, but that's what we ate. But the effect continued for about over 40-50 days. There was a drive to carry on, make more namaz, being early in the masjid, doing the right thing, speaking rightly, having right character, not flipping and slipping and doing stupid things. Right throughout that 40-50 days, then our character was consistent, our ways were very good, we were pleasant towards people, we were always thinking of Allah Ta'ala in the consciousness, in the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala all the time. So this intake, what we are intaking, will be the outcome. The intake, and that will be the output or outcome. What's the output? What's the outcome? It's what the intake. You have to examine the income, and then you will find the output. One person, he in the old days, I guess they weren't hotels. So people used to live in inns, and sometimes they would live in the masjid. So musafir, 2-3 days, and then you don't find restaurants and steers, everything, everywhere. So what happens is, people see a foreigner, a stranger in the town, and they will go and help him out. All right, one person will bring meals, second day someone else will bring meals, so that's how they would carry on, continue. So one person came into the town and someone offered him the meals. The first day, the second day, and the third day they offered him meals. So after the third day, the man told him, "By Musafir, now your time is up now. Now move it up." So the Musafir says, "You know, I'm not going to leave." "Why aren't you going to leave?" "Because you must tell me what's your secret. What's your secret, and then only will I leave." "So, no, by forget all the secret and all that, you just carry on. Your 3 days are over now. Musafir must only stay 3 days, so you must carry on." Insisted, insisted, insisted. Eventually came to know that this man lives on total halal. There isn't the slightest doubt of haram in his income. Absolute halal. There's the slightest doubt that he leaves it. Whether it is in the dealing, you know, our dealings sometimes are not off, not right. And sometimes the food is not right. You've got some gelatin, you've got some doubtful ingredient in the food, right? So whether it's the food that he's eating, he's got some doubtful ingredient, or whether the dealing is not right. So he's absolutely 100%. Very particular on his namaz. And number two, his dealing is 100%. He's got the slightest doubt, he would leave it out. Like the hadith says, that وَبَيْنَهُمَا مُشْتَبِهَاتِ between halal and haram, there is the doubtful area. So we've been commanded فَاجْتَنِبُوا عَنِ الْمُشْتَبِهَاتِ. We leave out these doubtful areas. If you've got slightest doubt, though you're getting a lot of money out of it, but there's doubt in it. So when you're going to pay the price for it. You'll get it. You'll get that additional money, but the price that you will pay thereafter is, then you will lose the barakat in the good works that you are doing. Your character will be affected. Your ways and mannerisms will be affected. Your motivation and drive will be affected. Your inclinations will be more towards haram, towards the wrong things. Your mind is always going to be in a turmoil. You're not going to have a calm, composed. You won't have a calm and composed temperament. So all these things, you'll have to pay for it. You will get that additional, but you took that doubtful. So this is the price that you have to pay. So he asked the musafir, "But why are you so eager to know, you know, about my income and all that?" So the musafir told him, "You see, that I'm here. This is the third day. All 3 days I'm here. I see Rasulullah in my dream, and throughout the day I feel so calm, so relaxed, so nice. I feel so wonderful. Therefore, this has prompted me to know what's your secret. What are you doing?" So this aspect of being absolutely clear, halal, haram. We have got a relationship with the worker. Are we paying him on time, paying him full? Or we are working for someone. Are we doing the full work? He's employed us for 6 hours, 7 hours. Are we doing work fully, completely? In this day and time, sometimes we are in the work. Right? In the office we are. One office worker told me, he's some engineer or whatever. He says to me that, you know, in my office work, I don't even use a cell phone. I asked him why. See, when you got taqwa, then taqwa brightens your understanding and reasoning. He's an ordinary engineer, but he's got taqwa. And the taqwa brightens your understanding and reasoning of deen. He says, "You see, that 6 hours that I work, I've sold my 6 hours to my company. So I'm not the owner of the 6 hours. Who's the owner? The owner is the company. When I've sold them that 6 hours, then I can't then rob the company within that time. That's not my time, it's their time. I must only do what they want me to do. I can't do anything what they don't want me to do. See, I'm going to steal away that I'm stealing it from their time. That means that's going to taint my salary. So no, I'll give them that 6 hours complete. Whatever it is requires of me, I'll give that 6 hours, I'll take my salary and move away. Though it may be a little bit hard for me, but I will not do anything that is against the company, company's requirements. So that my salary, my income won't be affected." Now this type of understanding, how does it come? How does it come? With taqwa. You thought about the taqwa, your understanding improved. Allah Pak, allow the nur to descend into your heart that you can reason correctly, you can see things better, you can understand things in a better perspective. So that is the effect of taqwa. And you try and compromise with the taqwa and cut corners, etc. Then you may cut corners, but then your mind many a times will be in a turmoil. Your inclinations are not right. The type of thinking will be all messed up, right? There'll be malice and dirt in your heart. Your heart will be not so clean. You won't enjoy the type of cleanliness and purity of the heart. So all this is as a result of your dealings, your ways, your income. So this is the first thing that affects you, the income. What type of income, what type of food are you eating? So in your income, you are absolutely clean, you are clear, you are working in any way that is doubtful. You are not taking anything that may be not clear. You are not clear about it, you just left it aside. Sometimes it may be someone may tell you it's halal, right? But you got a doubt about it, you seriously have some type of a reservation and leave it out. You got 1% doubt also, then leave it out. It's easier that way. And I have experienced that you leave that, even if it's got 1% of haram ingredient, you left it out. Then Allah Ta'ala compensates you with something far better. Very soon and very quick, Allah Ta'ala will grant you something far better. Your mind will be much more relaxed. You will be easy. There will be a better understanding within your folks, within your home. Otherwise, you have to pay the price. Sometimes your mind is in a turmoil. Sometimes your home is in a turmoil. Sometimes you can't understand people, you can't get along, there's a disagreement all the time. Sometimes your motivations and drive is wrong. So all this is the price for you taking that which is doubtful. The price that you're paying. So this is the first thing that is the impediment and the obstruction on the path. Haram and halal. Think to ourselves that Adam alayhi salam, the slip that he made was that forbidden fruit, right? And that then brought all the problems afterwards. You ate that, and thereafter it came with all the package, that forbidden fruit, and from there everything started off. So how important is this aspect of halal and haram, forbidden, doubtful? Don't even go near it, just leave it out. لا تقربا, don't even go near it. The second obstruction that comes on the way, one is halal and haram. The second obstruction that comes onto the way is inappropriate company. Right? When we talk of company, then company doesn't only refer to meeting and socializing with people directly. Sometimes you socialize and you meet up with people directly. You're sitting here together. Right? So that is one type of association. In the social network, etc., that's also a type of company. A radio is also a company. A newspaper, media is also company. Literature is also company. A studying companion book is also a company. Because the person that is writing, he is communicating with you through that book, through that literature, through that media, through that radio program, through that tape recorder, whatever it is, but he is communicating with you through that. And many a times, those people that are the journalists or editors, etc., they're either Satanists, they're either atheists, Christians, but there are no religion, totally immoral, immodest type of people that they're writing. They're writing, and you're communicating. So their writing must leave its mark in your heart, in your mind. The type of people that you are socializing, meeting, or put, right? Whether it's in the business, whether it's whichever, whatever. But it's going to leave its mark, it's going to leave its impression. It must leave its impression on yourself. So, the type of people that we associate, we meet up with. Right? And in this age and time, when people complain, now we have to work with women. Right? We keep a distance from them. Keep a distance safer for your izzat, for your respect, for your integrity, and for your family relationship. If you're going to become casual, then in time, your wife comes to know that this person is quite casual with women. Then she loses respect for you. Okay? We don't know what this person is doing. Why is he so casual with other women? Right? So she loses respect. The bond that you had in your marriage, that gets affected. Now she doesn't have the confidence in you. She doesn't have the type of loyalty and respect for you. So you see, that the home environment is not so pleasant as it used to be. Or if you carry on casual and she becomes casual as well. So it becomes like a monkey circus, right? She's doing her own thing, you doing your own thing. You have doubts about her and she has doubt about you. Then in this whole commotion, in your children are being born, and your children are observing your behavior and their mother's behavior. So they feel, well, it's all right to be carrying on like this, like monkeys. That's how they feel. But that impacts because of your behavior. You behaved in that way. You were casual with women, she was casual with men, and they carried on, right? So the child that is coming up, seeing the environment, then he feels or she feels that it's part of life. It must carry on like that. It must continue. So they become like that. So that modesty, morality, everything is lost. Right? That Islamic ethos, ethics, all that is lost. So this second aspect is about association. What type of people you would associate with? Yesterday, last night I was explaining, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah used to go with extremely righteous people. If he had to go to an istima, he would go with the righteous people, ulama, etc. But still he would find a little bit of a mark in his heart. And for that he would go and seclude himself in a khanqah somewhere for 3, 4 days, 5 days, until that he is all washed out. And the reason for that washing out is so important. Like I said, it's like an interruption in the line. Imagine you got electricity and there's an interruption in the line. Or there's water interruption, right? Right. One way when there's an interruption in the water, right? So you go and borrow water from someone who's got water, right? Or you go somewhere. Now, you know the difficulty that you go through. And one is to fix up the line straight away. Right? What's better? To fix up the line. Otherwise, now that's a difficult process. It's a difficult process to go and fix up the line straight away. One is to use borrowed water, you know, always borrowing water. You dug up a hole and you're filling it up and you're borrowing water all the time. And one is you borrowed the land until you struck the stream underground. Now you got water springing out all the time. It's just gushing out. It's gushing out. So this is what Ilyas Rahman was doing, that he saw that small little interruption, he went and corrected it. Rather than doing begging and borrowing and doing all the other things, and going through this difficulty, I need to rectify this, get the line straight. Once I got the line straight, then it's moving properly in the way I would like to move. So you see this inappropriate company. Many a times we are doing it just for entertainment, some show, whatever else. And we don't know the effects that it has. One person, Azadji Rahman was saying, was a very pious person, very, very pious person. And he saw some act carrying on, you know, like how you have some actors carrying on the road. In India, you have this type of things happening, some type of entertainment, whether they were yogis or the Hindus or whatever. But he saw them acting. So it caught his attention. He began to marvel, hey, what are they doing? And he looked for some time. And that thing attracted him. When it attracted him, because it was a religious group and the movement was a little bit attractive, so he was attentive towards them. About 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever the case may have been. But the effect that he left on him afterwards, that his heart is telling him with a lot of force that you must become a Hindu. Only for 10 minutes. Whereas he's a very pious person, punctual in all his works, etc. Even in seeing this type of entertainment, whatever, the effect that it left on his heart and soul, that you become a Hindu. Right? It's coming with such force that he can't resist that force. I mean, he couldn't resist that force now. So what must I do? So he says that he began to swear that, all that, Hindu, that whatever cult it was, he began to swear that thing. And, you know, he says that to move one step, like it was like moving a mountain, but I just moved, and I moved. Until eventually I came home, I went and prayed 2-4 rakat namaz, asked Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, cried, and I cried until I slept away. Then I saw Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in my dream. And Rasulullah Sallam cautioned me that what business you had to go and see these type of things. You don't have any business to go and see these things. Why you went and see these things? You don't have the type of strength. When you don't have that strength, why do you go and see these things? When you saw this thing, you got affected. When you got affected, now this is the mark, this is the effect of that. This is the effect of it. Now your heart is taking you in a wrong direction. So the second thing is this. So Rasul, he asked for forgiveness and apology. Nabi Sallam made dua for him. And he says that previous condition was returned, was restored again. See? So these type of obstructions, these blockages, they are more and more, every coming day is bringing more and more impediments, more and more obstructions. لَا يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ يَوْمٌ إِلَّا وَبَعْدَهُ شَرٌّ مِنْهُ. Every coming day is even worse than the past day. Every coming day is worse. So it's more evil. It's like a tsunami now. You know, you can't risk. That's why many times I say that even this mall, most people that go to mall, they come and tell me that when we come out of that mall, we can see a blackness hovering over the heart. I say, by then, what forces you to go there? So, no, the variety and the ambience, etc., we get attracted. But then what you may do is, go to the corner shop, buy the thing, whatever you need to buy, you will avoid all the other trouble there. Maybe it's a little bit of inferior quality, but all that effect, the effect that will leave in your heart, you will be protected, your son will be protected, your wife will be protected, you will get the protection. Maybe it's more expensive, or maybe it's not of that quality, maybe you don't have that variety. Now, the hadith says that this type of places, aswaq, souq, is where the shaitans, where they hatch and where they grow up. They hatch and they grow up. It's their nurseries, it's their place where they flourish. Now, when it is these are the places when they flourish, and we make these type of place, nowadays it's an entertainment. Nowadays it's like a social event. Weekend with the wife and both of you all going into the mall, right? And then it becomes like an outing. 2-3 hours you're gone there. Now it must leave its mark. You can't say it doesn't leave its mark. It must leave. All types of people are there. Every type of shaitan is there. Every type of person is there. Every type of music, woman, everything is there. One youngster just coming up, you know, 18, 19 years of age. So he said, I slept very, very badly. I'm looking at all wrong, haram things, whether on the phone, whatever else. So I asked him, by where this started off? So he said, no, my father is Hafizab, but then he takes me whenever he's going to the mall, he takes me. And because I was young now, from the age of 16, 17, my father started taking me there. So there, that I began to marvel at the girls, at the women, so beautiful, how they dressed up and all that. So I began to take a liking for them. But I couldn't disclose to my father what I was doing. But I got caught into this thing here. But this is where it started off. This is where it started. This youngster, he confided in me, this is where it started off. So, we should not be feeling to ourselves at any time that our emotions are dead. They are there, they are still lively. Sometimes because of an environment, we don't have the drive. But because you don't have the drive because of the environment, don't mistake yourself to be thinking that I don't have that feeling any longer. No, you still have it. Perhaps it's just down now. It's down now, but then it gets an occasion, it'll come up again. It's a snake, you know, that is coiled in the winter. When that heat of the rays of the sun comes onto it, then it comes up again. And then it wants to attack you. Now it's gone underground, you think it's dead. So it's just the environment that made you a little bit dead now. But when it gets the opportunity, it gets the occasion, then it wants to pounce again. So that's the nafs. An occasion or in an environment that it plays as though it's dead. And then when it gets an opportunity, then it strikes up again. So the precaution that we need to exercise with respect to environment, places, people, doubtful people, you can't experiment with these things. It may work out slightly more expensive, but that expense is cheaper than you experimenting with this. Because if you experiment with this for a little bit more enjoyment, then sometimes you end up paying much more. You get involved in one wrong and the second wrong, one wrong invites you to the second wrong, and the second wrong invites you to the third wrong, and before you know it, sometimes you missed out your Zohar namaz, sometimes Asar namaz, Maghrib namaz. Now can you ever, can you compensate for that loss? Three namaz are gone. One youngster was telling me that he's playing with phones and all that, and he couldn't resist himself. They had to break his fast, to masturbate and break his fast. Does this Ramzan, it happened? So, but where it starts off at this point. you start off small, you begin to experiment phones, looking at this and that, whatever else, and then you can't resist. When you can't resist, then all the hell that's in you breaks loose. You can't control. Now, the Ramzan Rosa went, can there be any compensation for that? But then I see to myself, like the child is wrong, then his parents also wrong. Because they give them the free usage of all these type of things. Access to all these things here, knowing that they are going through their teens. And when they are going through their teens, they are experimenting things. When they are experimenting things, then they want to experiment and go into these things. Now, he won't come and disclose to his parents that, you know, I did this and I broke my rosa like this. He won't say this. But he'll come and confide in me now. How do I feel? That this youngster, innocent little child, growing up, and he went and experimented at the cost of his rosa, where there is no compensation, there is no way that he can recover this loss. How do I feel? So at least the parents should be a little bit cooperative, understanding, recognizing what's going on, and then support them in the right course. All right, they are children, they need some recreation at the right spot, at the right time. Right? Some type of recreation, but at the right spot and at the right time. Many a times the places that we go is not right. So there's hotels, burgs, etc. We are going either at the wrong time or at wrong places we are going. Either wrong time or we're going at the wrong places. Many of these places that we go, they are, like I say, you know, in reading and all that, the people that are behind sometimes is a Satanist, sometimes it's an atheist. So these rooms also are occupied by these type of people many a time. And sometimes they are occupied by even worse people. You get gays coming in, lesbians coming in, and they actually come here to do and practice all the evil. All the evil, the music, the haram, the wine, lesbianism, everything they practice in these things. Now you going and occupying their rooms, I ask you, won't you feel affected? That sin has its effect. Like you go to the Haram Sharif, right? You go to Makkah Mukarramah, naturally you feel inclined, I must go to the Haram Sharif, read my namaz with Jamaat, make my tawaf, etc. Right? So the goodness, the righteousness that's in the atmosphere prompts you to do right. And the evil that is in this type of atmosphere prompts you towards evil. We are going there, our children are going there. We don't know the condition of the place, the type of people that frequent the place, we don't know them. Right? They may have been doing the Satanism there. And then we come out of that place, so that place will have its effect. When it's having its effect now, a person came back and he's got affected with jadu. Something he got affected with. But where he started from this type of wrong places, he went there and he caused it for himself, or his children, or someone got affected. So you see the association. How careful, what level of precaution we need to exercise. And like I say, that it's a time, like it's like a tsunami, you know. The tsunami and the floodgates of gunas are just open wild. So you will have to take your precaution. You will have to look after yourself and your child. Like with a tsunami, the greatest concern is you will have is about yourself and your immediate people, right? If the tsunami, then what's your concern? You don't say, is it jais to be here? You ask that, is it jais here? But I'm not doing it haram. What's your concern at that time? Think to yourself. At that time, how do I protect my life and the life of my immediate people? And then if I can protect someone else as well, I will do it. But primary concern, myself and my family. So now, when there's a tsunami on your iman, that was your tsunami on your physical self. And this is a tsunami and a flood against your iman. So, doesn't your iman also deserve that you should guard it like the way that you guard your physical self? Your physical self, every type of sacrifice was easy. And you felt you should be making that type of sacrifice. So your iman, to protect and guard your iman, isn't that a requirement as well? That you give it the highest level of safety, security. What type of security and protection it requires, you need to give it and offer it. So this is the second obstruction on the way. One is food that is doubtful, wrong type of food. One is the type of people that we meet up and associate. And the third is general sins, general wrongs that we do, and we do it, we think nothing about it. We consider it to be insignificant. In this day and age, Moreover, the wrongs of the tongue and the eyes. Right? The wrong of the eyes, we know much about it. But even the wrong of the ear, of the tongue, whether it's the wrong of the tongue or the wrong of the mouth, right? We consider it as a small thing, very, very small thing. Right? Now just look at it, just a case example. You sat in i'tikaf, so you feel motivated, you feel good about it. Obviously in the house of Allah Ta'ala gives you that gift. You have come to my house, so you are my guest, so I will also entertain you, I will grant you that type of hospitality. You come to my house, I will grant you, I'm your host. So I must grant you that type of warmth and that type of hospitality, right? But now, when you got that little bit of hospitality, now you go out. Now, I give you an example. Just try it out. Go and engage in ghibat, etc. for 10 minutes. See what happens to all that nur that you have got. All gets smashed up. Just 10 minutes. Then you spend 10 days, and now you are involved in ghibat, backbiting, slandering, or sometimes vain talks. Sometimes it is bickering, sometimes it's abuse, sometimes it is insulting someone, sometimes it is things that you're not sure about, you're just talking about. One is your immediate family and your parents. You have to give them some additional time, maybe they'll talk things, it's all right. But so long as it's not revolving around rebirth, etc. But your parents, your immediate family, children, wife, etc., you have to do something to keep them amused. You'll talk about something to keep them amused. That is a shari requirement to keep them happy, to keep them cheered up. You can't go in front of your wife and children now and act as though now Qiyamah is here. Otherwise, every time they see you, they see Qiyamah again. They see you or they see Qabristan just now. Okay? So you can't have that type of a face in their presence. They have to live with you, so you have to have that cheer, that countenance. That they feel cheered when they see you. They feel happy when they see you, right? So that's an exception. Your immediate people, they are an exception. Immediate people who you need to interact with, or, for example, those type of friends that will motivate you to the good. Right? You cheer up with them, it's also all right. But provided they are friends that are thinking the same, and they would motivate you, they would support you in good. So you can cheer up with them, it's also not a problem. Because you are thinking the same line, you are cooperating with each other, perhaps they are of a higher standard of taqwa than you, so they will be an accomplice, they will be an assistant. My ustad used to tell me that if you need to recite your door, then recite your door to someone who knows his Quran Sharif better than you know it. Not someone that is weaker than you. Because then you'll be double cautious. Someone that knows it very well, then you'll be very cautious when you're reciting to him. Right? Like if you were to read Quran Sharif to Sheikh Huzaifi now, I will read all the muds, all the gunna, everything. Everything is in place. Right? So your Quran Sharif will increase in that way. But if you read to any person, obviously that thing will go down. So the same happens with company. So that type of people that are a little bit better than you, that will motivate you, that will correct you, that in your mistakes they will tell you, but it's not right. When you are slipping, they will tell you, don't do this. Or you're going towards wrong, then they will correct you. Or they'll talk about the right type of topics that will motivate you, bring you on to the right. So that type of people. It's alright, it's not a problem to go and talk with them. So that won't be called as, you know, incorrect or inappropriate or vain talk. Because they're motivating, they're cooperating, they're singing on they're thinking on the same line. But they are thinking on a different line altogether, you think on a different line. What happens to your mind? Your mind gets confused. He's saying something else. He's saying that he said this and that person said this and that person said this. So what happens to your mind? You are one mind. So many facts are being stormed into your mind. Your mind can't reconcile those facts. When your mind can't reconcile that facts, what happens? Your mind comes into a confusion. Or you read so many Islamic articles, so many articles here, there, the whole world's articles, as though you became the whole world's Mufti Sahib. So the whole world's articles you're reading. Now you can't reconcile those facts. Too much for you. Right? So just what is enough for you that will cooperate, that will assist you, support you, encourage you, and it is of your line of thinking. Provided it is on your line, on the same wavelength, then it's beneficial. Because it's on the same wavelength. You on the same wavelength, they on the same wavelength. You are encouragement for them, they are encouragement for you. Right? So the third is this care of the tongue and the eyes. Any sin, general in sin, like I say, you know, one is taking care of the eyes and the ear, or eyes and the tongue. But nowadays, even more is vain activities, vain company, vain talks, etc. Many a times, our time, our precious time and wealth, everything has been wasted in that. It's vain. When you really analyze it, was it worth the while? Was it worth my money? Was it worth the time? Was it worth the effort? Did I get anything out of it? You didn't get anything out of it. So vain activity, vain association, you didn't get anything out of it. Nothing dunya, nothing deen, nor your akhirat got made, nor your qabr got made. You lost and you came back. So these three things we have to guard ourselves against in order to sustain and maintain the good that we have acquired in the small, short duration of ours. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib kare.